Blog Talk Radio.
And I wish somebody so would.
It's on fire!
Oh.
It's on fire!
Oh.
Okay, let's try it again. We welcome everybody. Can you hear me now? Rochelle, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I'm sorry, I had my mic off and I turned off the music and I'm like, we welcome everybody. Then I realized nobody's talking back, so I had to look and I noticed I had muted myself from the other day when I was listening to Minister Tony R. talked during a class, and I never took it off mute. But we welcome you, Rochelle. We want you to tell us a little bit about yourself, and we want you to go ahead as the Lord will lead you. And we are going to open the phone lines a little later on. But for right now, we want to have everybody be able to listen and hear without any real interruptions. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-9480. If you would like to call in and listen, you're more than welcome to. And again, we will open up the phone lines later on to to only serious callers. If you're not serious, I promise to hang up on you. All right, that being said, I would like to present the psalm and introduce to others Rochelle Wetzler, and if I didn't say that right, she'll tell me how to say it. But Rochelle, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much. It's such a privilege to be on this call with you guys. My name is Rochelle Wetzler, and I'm married. My husband and I have been married for almost 16 years. We are pastors of a church in Henderson, Nevada, and Tony is a part of our church, and so that's how I got connected with this radio show, and so I'm just very excited to be able to share what God's put on my heart. We have been a church planters. We planted our church 6 years ago, and we're just growing, and God has been moving since we started. We are a mom and dad to five beautiful babies, and just love every moment of being parents and pastors and what that brings to life. It's incredible, and it's awesome. And so I get to share with you guys this afternoon about the fire of the love of God. So I'm just going to talk about my story a little bit and then share what God's put on my heart. And I do want to give anybody an opportunity that has any questions for me to just be able to ask those towards the end of this. But I just kind of wanted to share my journey. You know, I grew up in a Christian home with my mom, single mom, who is an awesome, fiery woman of God. And but she did it alone, and I don't know how many ladies are on this call that have been single moms before. It's not easy to raise three daughters on your own. My youngest sister is mixed. She's half black, half white, and me and my other sister were more Caucasian looking. So that was another difficult thing for her to go through as a single mom too, having a mixed baby and living different places and that stigma on us. But just that, just going through those hard times, we always knew that God was with us, and we always knew He loved us. But not having a deep revelation of the love of God, when you're going through situations and you're going through hard times, you don't always know that He loves you. You know, He provides for you most of the time, and you know He cares for you. But knowing the deep love of the Father is something that was very void for me growing up. My dad wasn't a very big part of my life, and my stepfather wasn't a positive part of my growing up. So I grew up with this not knowing who I was, not knowing my purpose or my personal destiny or my personal significance. I knew God loved me, and I even knew that the saying that goes, well, if He would have came and just for me, He would have still died anyway. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that that Jesus would still have come if it was just me. But there's a deeper understanding of the love of the Father that I wanted to share with you guys today. I want to share about what it means to have value. And the turning point in my life as a young mom and a young wife was that I understood the love of God in such a deep way through my process, through my journey, that literally changed the course of my life. Now, I've gone through some really great moments and some really down moments, but if you know how much He loves you, if you know the true radical love of the Father, no matter in the height or in the valley, on the mountaintop or in the deepest valley, if you know the love of God, you understand His purpose for your life. You understand how much He loves you. You go through those moments with joy. So I kind of just wanted to talk about some different things that have happened to me in my life and in my journey of understanding the fiery love of God. One moment was when my husband and I were very successful entrepreneurs. In about 2005, I had this moment. We had a beautiful home, and at the time I had three beautiful children, and we now have five, but at the time I had three. And my kids were playing outside with my father-in-law, and I began to just weep, and I began to cry, and I didn't understand why my own father didn't want to have a part to play in seeing his grandchildren be raised up and coming into their own. And I was wondering, I always had this like void, this missing piece in my heart, like, why doesn't he want to be a part of this? And that was one of the start part of my journey of understanding the love of God, was just realizing that there was a void in my heart. As much as I never wanted to address it, and as much as I never wanted to face it, there was a void there. And so I think the first step in understanding the Father's love is you have to understand that there are areas of your heart that are empty and that are void that only God can fill. And if you first understand that, then you can go to the next level, which is allowing him to fill those areas. So the first thing that I dealt with was recognizing and identifying the areas of my life that had these gaping holes that were like infected wounds that were just drawing on all of these other things that were bringing different things of anxiety and depression and unhappiness and self-hatred and all of these things because of this one hole in my heart that I was either neglecting to address, or I was pretending like it wasn't there, or I was filling it with other things. And so the first area I think that we need to understand the fire of God's love is to understand there is a place in us that needs to be filled by only the love of God. The second step of my journey was getting a different perspective of who God is. I was raised, like I said, I was raised in the church. I was raised an evangelical Christian. I was raised knowing what God's word says from a perspective that was different than what I have now. Now, my perspective was that God was a judge, and God was in heaven, and he was far. But Jesus was close, and he was my friend. But God was far. And so in my head, I separated the Godhead. I separated who Jesus was and who God was, because somehow it was because of Jesus that God could even look at me. It was because of Jesus that God loved me. And without Jesus, God doesn't love me. He hates me. Without Jesus, God would never die for me. Without Jesus, I'm not significant. Without Jesus, I'm not valuable. Now, I'm going to say this, and I hope it doesn't just, you know, make you not listen, but hear my heart. Jesus doesn't make you worthy. Jesus' blood doesn't make you worthy. Jesus' blood proves your worth. The blood of Christ that was shed for us proves how valuable we are to the Father. And when you get that perspective, it changes the way you look at Father God's heart for you. So I talk about my journey of learning the Father's heart was literally, I spent 3 years on my face crying on the carpet. We spent about three and a half years praying before we planted our church, and we would have Sunday night prayer services for about 3.5 years, and I don't remember a time when I left that service where I had not just been on my face weeping. And it wasn't like I was in this season of repentance. Because I don't believe repentance is necessarily has anything to do with things that we do wrong. It just has to do with things that we need to change our mind, because repentance is the renewing of your mind. It's changing the way you think. So I don't think it was necessarily I was like all on these overt sins. It was me getting my heart. God was changing my heart. He was changing my perspective. He was changing the way that I looked at him. He was letting me see how close he is. Part of understanding the fiery love of the Father is understanding how real and tangible and close the heart of God is to each and every one of us. And me understanding that was changing my perspective and the way that I looked at how God related to me. Now, in the beginning, I opened up and I said, I think it's great that we tell people that if you were the only one, Jesus would have died for you. But what's more powerful than that? Jesus, God the Father, said in his heart way before creation, I want to include all of humanity into my heart. So he sent his son before. It was in his heart to do it before he even created us, to be the reconciliation, to bring every single person, all of humanity into his heart. He brought us all into his heart. Now that to me speaks way more value than if you were the only one, Jesus would have died for you. God the Father had it in his heart. He had us in mind way before the cross. He had us in mind before the cross. He said, I know every hair, I know every heart, and I want them to be included in my heart and included in my family. Joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. Seated at the right hand of the Father. That takes our perspective of him being far and in heaven and us being down here on earth, and somehow Jesus is in the middle rescuing us from his Father. That whole perspective changes, and we understand we're included in the Godhead. We're included in the very heart of the Father. We are a part of that. That's how much he loves us. So the first thing is understanding that there is this place in your heart that only God can fill. The second part is understanding he's not far. He's so close. He's so close. He is, it's like the Bible says he's a father to the fathers, a friend to the friendless, husband to, he is so close. He's right here. He's created this thing for us where we're a part of his own heart. Now, the next part of my journey was understanding that I don't have to strive. This was a really hard part for me because I am really good at doing, and always doing something for the Lord. And if I wasn't doing for the Lord, then something was wrong with me. And there was this one night, after we started our church, we had Tuesday night prayer. And we would just get together and we would pray. And you know, anytime you get some awesome people in the room and they pray, God shows up. So we all would get together and we would pray. And there was one night, and it was a really awesome night. And we left, but I felt something in my heart was missing. And so on the way home, me and my husband are driving, and he's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not okay." And he's like, "Well, what's wrong, honey?" I'm like, and in that moment, I felt so defeated. And let me share with you, I felt like a failure because I was supposed to be a leader, and I didn't feel like I did enough for God that week to be able to show up and minister at a prayer meeting. And my husband looked at me and said, "Rochelle, you're not Martha, you're Mary." Now let me explain that to you. Some of us know the story, and if you don't know the story, it's somewhere in Matthew, and you can go find it yourself. Praise the Lord. But there's a story of Martha and Mary, and Jesus goes to the house, and Mary sits at the feet of Jesus, and Martha is busy in the kitchen, and Martha's frustrated with Mary because she's doing all the work by herself, and so she goes and complains to Jesus, and Jesus says to Martha, "Why do you toil? Don't you know that Mary's chosen the better portion?" Now, let me just say this. There is no Martha ministry. There is no Martha that God blesses. God doesn't bless Martha. He blessed Mary. He rebuked Martha for being busy when she was supposed to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, let me tell you, the actual verses are in Luke chapter 10. I think it's starting in verse 38. So that's if you want to go back and read that story. But there is no Martha ministry. And I had to let that stuff get worked out of me because I had always had this perspective, like, if I don't do enough for God, I'm going to disappoint him. Now, those roots stem from something, and I don't know if I might be talking to one person or two people on this line that you need to hear this. When you always feel like you have to do something to gain favor in somebody's eyes, that's not love. If I'm always constantly having to prove that I love you or prove that you're important to me, that's not love. That's works. And there is no Martha ministry. There is only daughters of God that sit at the feet of Jesus. And so my husband said that to me. He looked at me and said, honey, you're not Martha, you're Mary. I began to weep and cry and think, God, what am I missing out because I feel like I'm not doing enough? What am I'm missing out on your presence because I feel like I'm not fighting enough or I'm not toiling enough when all you're saying is, come be a daughter and sit at my feet. All you have to do is be a daughter and sit at the feet of Jesus. Sit at the Father's feet. Let him bring you into his heart. So not shortly after that, I had this vision of me and the Lord. And I was a little girl, and we were in a field. And you can go back to any movie or any story. I was a little girl in a dress, and we were in a field. And I was born and raised in Las Vegas, so I live in a desert. There are no wheat fields in Las Vegas, so I've never experienced this. I never had my father growing up, but in this vision I had with the Lord, he was dancing with me and running with me and playing with me in this wheat field. And I begin to see the Father differently, but I also begin to see myself the way he saw me. I begin to see the way that he sees his daughter. That it's not all serious, and it's not all do's and don'ts, and it's not this list of, Rochelle, if you don't read your Bible for 2 hours and then pray for another hour, you're not pleasing to me. He was speaking value to me and saying, right now, right as you are, just what you're doing, you are pleasing to the Father. You are making your Father proud. Now that revelation, if we get that as the women of God, if we get that as his bride, it will radically change the way we do everything. Because if I understand that right now, in my moment, in this place, no matter what I'm doing, I am pleasing the Father. He is proud of me. It changes the way I look at everything. It changes the way I respond to my husband. It changes the way I serve him. It changes the way I serve and love my kids. It changes the way I serve and love the women in my church because I understand he already is pleased with me. He already loves me. I don't have to work towards gaining some kind of love or some kind of acceptance or some kind of favor with God. He already loves me. He already accepts me. He already has favor with me. Now, I grow in that as I draw my heart close to him, as I pursue him. I grow in that favor, but I don't ever have to grow in his love. He loves me right now. He loves me in my moment. And that's what the fiery love of God does. It radically affects the way you live your life. Because if I understand, for one, he already chose me. For two, he finds me valuable. He fills those holes in my heart. And then I understand that his fiery love says, I am fully pleasing to the Father right now. I don't have to do one more thing. The Lord told me this one time, if you never prayed to me ever again, I'd still love you. If you never, I was having a hard time on a Sunday morning, and I was just having feeling guilty and feeling shameful and feeling just, you know, just all the things that the enemy just feeds your mind, like you're not worthy and you're not valuable enough, and you know, who do you think you are? You're not even qualified to be a pastor's wife, and you totally yelled at your kids, and you know how many baskets of laundry are not done, and you know what? You didn't even serve your husband this morning because you slept in 30 minutes. Like the enemy just, you know, the things that are mined over and over and over. And the Lord said, if you never ever went to church again, if you never prayed one more prayer, I would still love you. And those words that he speaks radically changed my heart. They radically changed me. So I want to talk just for a minute, the results of the fiery love of God, what it means for my life. So I shared with my ladies this morning, we have our once a month, we call our women's ministry Women Restored. And because I believe that a fully restored woman is one of the most powerful things that can happen in the universe, because if we know who we are, it changes lives radically. And so I got to share some of this stuff with the ladies this morning, and so I wanted to share some of it with you. But I want you to understand what the fire of God's love does to a life. I think in the Christian world, women are the most, especially in the church, we are the most self-hating entity on the planet. There is something that happens that we feel like because we are a Christian, we no longer have to love ourselves. We don't have to take care of ourselves. We don't have to spend time with ourselves. And everybody else is more important than we are. One of the things that I had to learn and God taught me through his love was that I am beautiful. I am purposeful. I am the reflection of his heart, and I have to love myself. I think about like a precious diamond. So diamonds are so valuable, and the reason why they're valuable is because people are willing to pay a lot of money for them. The price that somebody's willing to pay for something determines its value. Well, if I understand the price that was paid for me is the highest price that could ever be paid, was first creation and then the sacrifice. So if I understand that, then I understand that the power of what happened with the in the blood and then the power that happens in the resurrection gives me the freedom to be who God has created me to be, but it also speaks my value. It speaks my purpose. So I think about a gem, a precious gem, a diamond. Let's just say you had a 1,000-carat diamond. I think there's like a 100-carat diamond, and it's worth, it's worth like $23 million. That's the highest one diamond that's ever been worth. It's worth $23 million, and it's like 100 carats. So imagine you yourself, you are a 1,000-carat diamond. You are pretty much, there's no price because there's the price is too much. So that's what the love of God says your value is. Now, there is no two diamonds alike. There is no two cuts exactly the same. There is no two brilliance exactly the same. There is no diamond. That speaks of your significance. And then I think of the purpose of a diamond. What's the purpose of a diamond? The purpose of a diamond is a love story. What young love means, what it means to fight the love fight and to pursue somebody. And that's what all of us are. We are the diamond of the Lord. We are valuable, we are significant, and we have such purpose. But when I understand his love for me, it creates this value that I begin to have for myself. If I have value for myself, I can have value for somebody else. And I think sometimes we have it backwards. We try to value broken, lost, hurting people, but all we're seeing is a reflection of the way we see ourselves. And so we see empty, we see broken, we see missing, we see lacking, instead of seeing with the Father's eyes, being able to see ourselves as purposeful. We can see every person in his creation as purposeful, as significant, as valuable. The problem with the church most of the time is that we have condescended the lost so much that they don't want to hear the gospel because they're tired of being condescended. They're tired of being talked down to. The problem is we haven't understood the value that we have before God because we're still caught up in a worldview that says that God is some kind of child abuser that needed a sacrifice, needed to beat the living crap out of his son so that he could love his children. But that's not the picture of the cross. So if we have the picture of the cross backwards, of course we see ourselves as disgusting, born in sin, all of these things. We see ourselves as these worthless pieces of nothing, of flesh, that only because of Jesus that we have any worth. So therefore we look at humanity because they don't have Jesus, and all we see is flesh and grossness, and we don't see purpose. But if we understand that God is so close, that he's ravished over us, that he included us in his heart from the foundation of the earth, that he's not some child abuser, that he loves his creation, he loves us to the point of sacrificing his own self to be reconciled, to reconcile the world to him. He sacrificed his own self. If we understand that, the way we see ourselves with such value because of the love of the Father. We see ourselves with such purpose because of the love of the Father. And so now we can see all humanity with such purpose. with such value, with such significance, because our perspective has changed. So I hope that we get that part, because I'm telling you, the earth is crying out for something that is real, for something that is tangible, for a love that is so radically different than anything the world has ever experienced. Let me say this. There is enough fear and hate going on in our world that the church doesn't need to add to it. We need to be the light and the beacon of hope and truth, not hate and fear. See, it is the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Bible says, but he has come to bring life and life more abundantly. And if the life that we are living is not abundant, rich, full, prosperous, positive, loving life that is inclusive of every part of humanity, then it's not the heart of Jesus. It's not the heart of the Father. If our Christendom or our theology or our the way we do our life is full of fear and full of hate and prejudice and all of these things, and all we're doing is isolating and condescending and telling people that they're lost and telling people that they're nothing, that they have no value, then all we're doing is adding more negativity into the world, and that is not the hope of Jesus. So the last thing that happens because of the love of the Father is it creates this this thing called true family and true community. Because if I understand how much God loves me and I begin to see myself in the reflection of his eyes and I see every person with a purpose and I understand that we're all included into the heart of the Father, something is birthed on the inside of me that creates this hunger for community and this hunger for family. And then the way that I see people is so radically different that there is no room for comparing. There is no room for measuring up. There is no room for gossip or slander or offense or any of these things that happen in the body of Christ. There's no room for it because I see every person with purpose and value and significance because I understand the fiery love of God for myself. And once I get the fiery love of God for myself, for me, I can see with the eyes of God and I see every human. I see every life, I see every person with the love of God. And so silly little stupid things that normally would cause me to be offended or hurt or rejected, I don't see that stuff anymore. I don't even entertain it anymore. You know, I told my ladies this morning, sometimes we think grace is a cushion, and I've heard this said before, is a cushion for us to fall on, but grace is not that. Grace is the empowerment that for us to live in complete freedom. If we are not living in complete freedom, if we're still being held back by these things like slander and gossip and offense or anything like that, then we are not truly tasting of what grace has done for us. We are not truly partaking of the power of the resurrected Christ if we're still allowing ourselves to walk in these different things, because the power of the resurrected Christ, grace is that thing that enables me to live and walk in complete freedom from those things. I'm holding nothing back, God, because my heart is radically yours. My heart is radically yours. You have radically, fundamentally reversed all of these things in my past. You have captured my heart like no other, and you have changed the way I've seen myself, and now I see people differently. And so that is the cry of a heart of a person that has truly tasted the fire of God's love and walks in the true grace and power of a resurrected Christ. So that is what I just wanted to share with you guys today. I think I only went about 30 minutes, but I'm just so grateful that I've had the opportunity to share. And sorry, excuse me, I take a drink. And I am so fired up about the love of God, because I know what his love has done to radically change my life. Radically changed me, has changed the way I am with my children. Actually, I wanted to tell a couple really quick stories before we open up the lines. one of the things that has really helped me walk in freedom and learn to really love myself is understanding that I am the only person called to be me. There is no other Rochelle on the earth that is called to do what I'm called to do. There is nobody else that's called to be the wife to my husband. There's nobody else called to be the mother to my children. There's nobody else called to be the pastor's wife to these women in my church. I am called to be me. And so if I am living my life trying to be somebody else and not knowing who I am and trying to mimic and look like this person and mimic and look like that person, who's going to be me? Who's going to be Rochelle? Because God has a purpose for me. And so I've learned that I have to be completely 100% authentically the person God has made me to be. I can't do that if I don't love me. I can't do that if I don't know my purpose. I can't do that if I'm constantly trying to figure out, like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? Or who am I supposed to be? I can't be me if I'm unsure of who me looks like, if that makes sense to you. So I have completely 100% decided that maybe it was 5 or 6 years ago, it was like, I am going to be myself. And that is going to come with a lot of bumps and a lot of not being perfect and a lot of transparency. And with that comes a lot of vulnerability. And so everything I've talked about, I just encourage you, there are going to become times when your transparency and your vulnerability is going to lead to pain. But let that pain take you deeper into the love of God, because it was nothing like the pain that he bore to include all of humanity into his heart. But there will be times when you love so recklessly and you love so much that it hurts, and you love so deep that it hurts, but it doesn't matter because you're understanding that that is a love that's going to change people. See, love that doesn't cost you anything is just an idea. Love that doesn't have pain is just words. Love costs you. Love costs you everything to really, really love people. You know, I tell a story, a little funny story. We can end on this. My youngest daughter is 2, and she'll be 2 in April, and I had all my babies before I was 25. And so when I got pregnant with her, I was like, oh no, I'm too old for this, even though I was only 31. So some of you guys are like, oh no, she is not old. But I feel old when I was pregnant with her. And I had a hard beginning of the pregnancy. And then when you have 4, you know, and then you're pregnant and you're in full-time ministry. And so there was one night, my husband was at church, and I had decided to ditch church because I hate Wednesday night services, so I chose not to go. We were sitting around the table, and I'm with my 4 kids, and my husband's at church, so I had gotten Taco Bell for dinner. Now, I am an anti-fast food kind of mom, so we don't do fast food. So if we need to do fast food, we're going to go eat at Chipotle or something like that. But we're sitting there having Taco Bell. And then my Hannah, who at the time was about 6, and she leans over to me and she's like, Mom, I'm wearing Josiah's underwear. Now, Josiah is my 4-year-old son at the time. And so Josiah leans to me and he leans to Hannah and he says, Hannah, just go commando because that's what I do. And so I just began to, like, die on the inside. Because first of all, how many times this week have my kids had fast food? I have no idea. I can't even count. Second of all, I am really slacking that my daughter has no clean underwear. Third, I don't know where my son, who's 4 years old, learned what commando means, but he shouldn't know it. So I talk about that story because I understand what it's like to be a real person, to have real moments where you feel like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, I feel like the biggest failure, but I'm not. I feel like I'm going to lose it, but he's with me. I feel like I can't be honest with myself, but I can. And these are the moments where he says, you are doing absolutely everything you're supposed to do. You're 100% pleasing to me right now, right in this moment. So I just wanted to close with that quick story, and I'm just going to go ahead and give it back to you, and if there's anybody with any questions, I am going to stay on the line.
All right. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-9480. If you have any questions for Rochelle, please feel free to call in. This would be the good time. But while we wait and see if anybody calls in, Rochelle, you really touched on a lot, and and a lot of times we tend to miss it, but it's like God's love is so, you know, He loves us for who we are, if that makes sense, and I know what it's like to live everybody else's idea of how you should live for God and how God's love really flows. But to really sit back and realize that everybody else's idea is not necessarily God's idea of His love for you. And you have to, like, really take time sometimes to step back and see, are you living everybody else's ideas of how God loves you, or have you taken time today to ask God how He loves you, or allowed Him to show you how His love really flows in your life, if that makes sense? Does that make sense, Rochelle?
Absolutely. It is so much about understanding how much He loves us. It's understanding that there is no person that can tell me the love of God, or there is not one person that can negate the Father's love for me. He loves me perfectly. And sometimes we allow what people say and what people do and their actions and their responses to determine the Father's love for us. But there is no person, there is no one that can determine what God thinks about me and how much He loves me, but Him. And when we understand how much He loves us, it changes everything. It radically changes everything.
Yeah, and because it helps us to stop living, and I'm not, when I say stop living, I don't mean stop living for God, but stop living for God according to everybody else's idea of how you should live for God, because sometimes we can hear God speaking to us. And I remember being in a situation where I was battling with fear, and there were different other things going on, and nobody came to my rescue, and just hearing God say, "I'm all you need," and He began to point out scriptures about perfect love and how, you know, and that God that He is perfect love, and how the angels, you know, encamp around about us, and perfect love cast out all fears, and, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And when I began to realize that God was actually talking to me in the midst of my storm and telling me, hey, if nobody else comes to your rescue, I'm here. You know, and that's when I really began to understand. I mean, I had an understanding, but to really be able to live according to God's idea of what love is, and am I mean, y'all, I mean, Rochelle can stop me if I'm not making sense, you know, but that's something that you can live by, to know that God is in the midst of everything you're going through, and that he's there to bring you out, and because you can have that godly love and his love, or you can have everybody else's idea of love. And there's people in the nut house today because they have everybody else's idea of love instead of God's idea of love. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, something you said, it was like, there's so many times we go through the valley, and we always want to live mountaintop to mountaintop in this life, you know, and we never, sometimes we negate what happens in the valley, but, you know, there's fruit that grows in the valley. And Jesus himself went through the Garden of Gethsemane before he got to the mountain. We have to, when we go through the valley, we have to understand that is where the fruit grows. That is where we become refined and redefined. And his love for us is the only thing sometimes that gets us through those times, those valleys, those places of weeping, those places of sorrow. But if we understand his love, then we know that there is joy for mourning. There is breakthrough coming. There is a mountaintop coming on the other end. And we know that we're going to be better because of it, and that fruit grows in a valley. And so if we understand his love for us, no matter what season we're in, no matter what we're going through, then it's easy for us to go through the ups and the downs. It's easy for us to go through the high times and the low times, because we understand the love of God for each and every, we understand his love for us as an individual, and we understand how the fiery love of the heart of the Father for each and every one of us is so passionate. There's so much to it that we can go through anything. We can go through any storm. So, absolutely.
Amen, amen, amen. Nobody has called to chime in or anything, but what would you say to that person? And you probably already said it, but what would you say to that person who really doesn't get what love is? If that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, so many times, I heard Bill Johnson say it. He said, our view of God is outlined by our parents and filled in by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, unfortunately, that is not in our favor. And like I had said in the beginning of the call, I didn't grow up with a father. So my idea of what a father looked like that loved me was not present, was not there, was not the one speaking life to me and giving me everything that I needed. But we have to let the Holy Spirit undo the lies of what that kind of love looks like, because the love of the Father is so deep. It's so rich. And like I said, my journey was like 3 years, every single Sunday on my face, just getting just a deeper revelation of the love of God. And I will say this, there's something that happens in his manifest presence, in the manifest presence of God. There's something that happens where he seals in our heart his love for us. And the little by little, we can understand how much he loves us. And I do say this, let the pain of the past, let the love of God wash away the pain. Let him wash away the past. Let him wash away fear. Let him wash away rejection. Let him wash away words that didn't speak life to you. Let him wash away all the people that didn't say you're going to do anything. Let the love of God wash it away, like the washing of the water of the word. Let him wash those things. I think about about a year and a half ago, I was in a wedding, and I remember having so much makeup on my face that all day long, I just couldn't wait to peel off fake eyelashes and just wash my face off. And I begin to think about like that just now, like how we've caked so much on to make it look like we have it all together, to make it look like I know who I am, or I am valuable, or I am significant, or I know the love of the Father, when really, if we just peeled it all off and washed it away, we would get to the real heart of it, of the love of God, the real heart of it, the purity of His love for us. Without any of the baggage of the past, without any of the baggage of the even the present, or any of the baggage of what, how we see ourselves, that we would just understand His perfect love for each and every one of us. I hope that answers your question.
Oh, yeah. It really does. Although I know how to reach you, tell our listeners how they can reach you, how they can find you. Tell them where your church is in case they happen to be in Vegas visiting. I know I will be coming when I come to visit.
Awesome. Yeah. We're in Henderson. So if you're familiar with the Las Vegas area, we're not far from, we're about 20 minutes from the airport, maybe 25 minutes from the strip. We are, our church website is called EncounterLV.com, and our church is called Encounter Community Church, the Encounter Church Las Vegas. And you can find me on Facebook. My name's Rochelle Wexler. Request me. You can email me at Rochelle@EncounterLV.com. And, you know, just let me know, hey, I heard you on the radio show. I have a question or anything like that. I am available through my Facebook or through my email at any time. And I encourage you, if you're in the area, look us up. Come find us. We have every year we have an amazing conference that we do. It's called Love Explosion. And this year it's in the middle of September. And we just really have a powerful time of experiencing the love of God, letting God reform the way we see Him and change the way we look at Him, and then we just really take that to our whole entire city. So thank you so much for the privilege of being on with you guys, and I look forward to anybody that has any questions or anything, or just wants to have a conversation, email me or find me on Facebook, and I am available for anybody. So thank you so much.
Amen. And we are gonna, and Rochelle, you know I'm gonna have to have you back on here.
No problem.
More than likely, either before I go to Africa or after I come back. But I am going to have you come back.
No problem.
Because I really like dialoguing with you, and I really enjoyed the topic. And, of course, you know, our ministry is called Love International. Well, it used to be just Love Outreach and Evangelism, but then it went international, and now it's Love International Women's Ministry and Conference Speaking, because when I go out of the country, I'm conference speaking.
Nice.
But long story short, I really enjoyed having you on the show. Anybody who knows me knows I'm very careful who I have on the show. And so she will be back. Rochelle, can you close us out in prayer?
Yes. Yep, for sure. Father, I thank you so much for every single woman on this call, for every heart, God. I thank you for the opportunity just to speak the love that you've shown me, the fire that you've put in my heart. But right now, I just declare the love of God would just fall on every heart right now. Wherever anybody's listening from, I just pray that they would find their value, their significance, their purpose right where they are, right in this moment, that your presence would overwhelm them, your love would just increase on their heart and on their life. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for every heart. And we just seal this moment with your word, by your Holy Spirit, and in your name. Amen.
I am so sorry. I got disconnected. Rochelle, are you still there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Okay. I got disconnected from you, really.
Okay.
So I don't know how much of your prayer got heard over the air. So would you mind closing us out again?
No problem, no problem. Father, I thank you for every heart and every woman on this call. I thank you that your love is just so radical and so life-changing, so profound. The love that you have for every single person is just so wonderful, Lord. And so I just declare right now, where everybody is at, that your mighty hand, that your the presence of this of your spirit would just overflow them. I declare peace, joy, and righteousness over every heart and every life. And I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for this ministry. And I just declare that that your hand is on every single heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And thank you so much again, Rochelle, for being with us. I will be contacting you on Facebook very shortly, actually. You have been listening live to the Fire of Love. Remember that Jesus loves you, and so do I. We did not talk about Africa today, but we will talk about it on another show. I have 3 months anyway. So we'll definitely talk about it, or you might see videos on Facebook. But God bless you, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And don't forget to spring your clocks ahead, or you will be late for church. Have a good day, everyone.